at 590. The Fan. Let our trained professionals help you come down from the high of the game here on the Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Muzzin trying to center. It'll come back to Zaitsev, who thinks better of trying to pinch there. He might have beaten Perlini to the puck, and it doesn't matter because they score. Alex DeBrincat gets his 38th of the season. And Zaitsev sort of caught between the rock and the hard place. Certainly looked like he had an opportunity to keep that puck in. Pull back, turns into a 2-on-1. And Tyler Ennis does not catch DeBrincat.
Yes, well, was that ever an ugly time tonight at Scotiabank Arena? The Chicago Blackhawks making it 5-0. And the Toronto Maple Leaf fans not in a very good spirit. Second consecutive tough home game that they haven't played very well. And then all of a sudden, four unanswered goals right now, just a little bit over a minute left. It's now 5-4 Chicago over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Gord Stellick, Mike Zigomanis, welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It will be a Leafs Nation postgame in a few minutes' time, but boy, oh boy, what a different period from a game that was a total clunker, Mike.
Yeah, I'm eating my words a little bit for Monday night. This team, I don't know, there's definitely concerns now with the dozen games to go, Gord. They're not looking good. Another bad start. When I'm watching the end of the game, though, and you watch the third period, it's why don't they come out like this in the first? And I'm sure fans ask that same question. Why wait till the last 10 minutes or period of the game to start playing? And it's tough to watch. You heard the boos tonight,
yeah,
at Scotia, and they have every right to believe that. And that's at this point in the season, I understand there's a couple of key players out of the back end. Anderson's been having some tough bounces. The game against Tampa, a lot of indirects, off skates, off shin pads. It's just one of those times that the team goes through, and it's another night where they struggled.
Well, I'll tell you something. Austin Matthews almost tied it up. We got 40 seconds left, and it is like crazy around the Chicago Blackhawk net. And I got to say, Mike, you were a guy in the first period that said it wasn't 5-0, but say it was 3-0, and you thought they would get a better effort. Unfortunately, they didn't do it when it was 3-0. It came a little bit later. So at least compared to the Tampa game, they are doing that this time around compared to the other game. At least there's been, again, a little bit of a silver lining. No question. Two clunkers, two, as you say, some elements of concern. But what a different ending that's coming up right now with just 19 seconds left.
Yeah, and this team's not the Tampa Bay Lightning. They look good. They're playing fast. They're not as physical as Tampa. But Crawford played well in it. Obviously, he pulled himself with an illness. And once the game's 5-0, it's tough to get back into it. They get a couple. Then as soon as you make it 5-3, now you can kind of taste the blood if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs a little bit. And now's when you see this effort, like we just talked about. Why not start earlier? If they play like this off the hop, this is a different game. I wanted more from them. There's no excuse tonight that they're coming off the road trip. But like we said, couple key guys out of the lineup. Bounces aren't going their way. And where are the big boys? I haven't seen the big boys at all lately. People, when I talked about the one-off on Monday, everybody in town's talking about, well, what happened against the Islanders? Well, the Islanders a week and a half ago, that was something that concerned me more than the Tampa Bay team. Tampa Bay's dominant. Number one, they're first in every category. But the Islander game, that's just not showing up in a playoff atmosphere, hostile environment, and that's what they're going to see in the playoffs.
Well, we're going to see, as I say, an entertaining, and Morgan Riley arguing quite vociferously about the fact Colin Delia, he did push the net off and wasn't called at all, so we'll get about that faceoff going on. You did allude that Zach Hyman out with the flu bug. Kasperi Kapanen now from being the flu bug the other night to some concerns about concussion, so there's been some injury woes for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And right after these final 20 seconds, we will do our walk to the subway. We'll have Mike Babcock on. We will have Chris Johnson on. You touched on the Blackhawks. Yeah, the Blackhawks aren't the Tampa Bay Lightning, but boy, oh boy, they've got their act together, haven't they, since the new year?
Well, their top two lines. It's one thing when you ride one line and it can take you a long way. And you saw that with the Colorado Avalanche this year. But look how much they've dropped off. the Chicago Blackhawks, you had Toews and Kane together for most of the start of the season. The coach gets fired. Now they bring in a new guy. They shuffle the lines a little bit, and now they have two lines going. And those two lines are as good as any two lines. Even the Leafs, look at the matchup tonight. When you can say your top two lines outplay the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's a good night, and you're going to win most of those games. And they've got the game 5-4 right now, and it's they're playing good hockey right now. I believe if they win this is going to be 4 in a row for them, and it's credit to them. They started at a bad start, and now they're in the mix for a playoff spot.
Yeah, well, there they are. It's officially Leafs Nation postgame now. Pretty excited back in the control room there. Holy macro. Everybody watching it. That is the upside, is they made a game of it in a way, so the fans go home happier than they did. But, when you have that expression, 5 unanswered goals, that's never a good thing in any game.
Well, when you start off down 2, that's one thing you can maybe claw out of it. You've seen teams come back from 3 possible, but that's not going to, that can't be the story every night. And it happened Monday, happened again today. And it just seems like it's happening more and more towards the end of the season. And when you have 12 games, right now is when you're fine tuning your team. You're tweaking the second unit. You're getting maybe a third penalty kill forward pairing going. You're seeing who works well together at the end of the game. You're working on your 6-on-5. You're mixing your backup goaltender into it. This is not a time to be looking, well, guys aren't playing with any competitiveness out there. There's no competitive excellence. They're not tough enough. They're not playing heavy enough. When you start talking about that, or when you have players start to say that we just quit on the ice, that's very discouraging from the coach's standpoint and from the fans. If I'm going to watch, I want these guys coming out every night, giving it everything they have, and especially with a month to go till the playoffs.
Well, we officially start Leafs Nation postgame now, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mike Zygmantas on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So we call it the walk to the subway. So we'll break it down a little bit more like you already have. But, okay, I know a lot of fans tonight love that 7-6 game. What was the third game of the season in Chicago? Kane versus Matthews, and just had everything going. And I think they wanted, in a lot of ways, and could have expected a 7-6 game tonight. Just not quite like this. Not like we said, Chicago gets 5, then at the end, Toronto gets 4. I got to say, though, at the end, put the 5 goals aside, which is a lot to put aside, or 5 unanswered goals, it was a hell of an entertaining finish. I mean, it was too little, too late, whatever you want to call it. But at least we did see a snippet of the almost absurdness the Toronto Maple Leafs can put on when they get their stars out there and the offensive show going. I mean, you've mentioned it. It's been absent for the last couple of games. But as we walk to the subway and leave Scotiabank Arena now, we would be a little bit placated by the end of it.
Well, when you can get 6 players on the ice, especially these 6, with the firepower the Leafs have, you're going to be in the offensive zone and getting chances against almost any team. This power play hasn't been working last couple months the way they were at the start of the season. That's discouraging to watch. That's a little upsetting for me. When you see how good this team and how far they have come along, when you have Matthews, Marner, Kadri, when you have this group, Riley on the back end, you just expect more. You don't expect games like this at all. And yeah, it's exciting at the end. They almost tie it up, but it's not sustainable. And this is not playoff hockey. This is when you're expecting these tight games, and you're not seeing it right now. And yeah, the 7-6 games are great, but as we get going into the playoffs, Gord, we all know defense wins games. And yeah, scoring's up this year, but watch these tight games coming into the playoffs. We're going to match up against Boston most likely. You're going to need your goaltender firing. Anderson's going to have to stand on his head every game. You're going to need the defense playing their best hockey of the season. And right now, with Dermott out, Gardner out, you're seeing the struggles that the Toronto Maple Leafs can have. And it's not pretty right now. With this group of defense, this team is going to struggle. So yeah, they need Dermott back. We've realized how much we miss Gardner. Be careful who you boo on our team, on the Toronto Maple Leafs, because you might need them. And you're really noticing the puck. The forwards aren't getting it going up the ice. This is a transition team. Dermott might be the best at head manning the puck. and it's showing right now. We can rewind all these goals against, and oh, it's a giveaway here, missed coverage there. But what's leading to the goals? That's what you have to look at with this team, because that's where all the breakdowns are happening.
Well, again, as you say, unusual period. 30 shots on goal the Maple Leafs had in the third period. That's a staggering number. Elliot Friedman saying the most since 1970. Wow. 30. So, I mean, like, again.
They still lost, though, Gord.
Oh, I know they still lost. But just at the end, I'm just saying it's just a crazy finish to the game that way. They end up losing. But just talking about the period that was and what happened. And, you know, maybe part of it that Freddie Anderson was chased early on, twice in a row, not Freddie's fault. I don't know. We'll go over the goals a little bit again. I don't know how many you could fault Freddie on or not. And then Corey Crawford played well tonight. And then Colin Delia comes to replace him in the third period. And it seemed that helped the motivation. So I know they lost the game, but 30 shots is a staggering. That's a 90-shot pace.
Well, you want to get shots. You want to get shots early. Remember the game against Carolina a couple months back? They threw the most against the Leafs in history. And Carolina did nothing special in that game. But you put a team back on their heels, you throw everything at net, things are going to go in. Everyone's talking about our advanced stats right now, our Corsi. The more pucks you throw at the net, the more you're going to score. There's no disputing that. And you see certain teams that thrive off it. The Carolina Hurricanes have done it this year, and that's why they're in the position they're in. Rob Brendamore knows, not the most skilled team, don't really have good puck possession numbers. When they get the puck, they throw everything on the net. And when you get games like this, Tampa, when things are not going right, that's what the Leafs need a little bit more. Not the extra pass, not trying to skate the puck in. Turnovers were definitely affected this game, affected the Leafs, definitely a factor in this game. And that's what hurt them at the end of the day. You look at the Tavares giveaway, Gauthier not picking up his man in front of the net, Zaitsev in the corner in his own end, giving the puck out. It's hanging onto the puck, making those extra special plays down low below your goal line, and keeping it simple when you're going forward, when you're going north. And those are just a couple of things I want to see this team do better.
Well, the other part, again, like you said, we'll go over the goals in a little bit. And now they kind of really matter, because it was the narrowest of margins that they lose the game. And the other part, to give them a little bit of slack, looking back on, I'm just talking about these two games. There was, and again, we had, I talked to Jamie Baker yesterday on Primetime Sports, and the Western Conference teams go cry me a river when they hear an Eastern Conference team talking about travel and that. But I know quite often guys like to have 2 days in between a long trip coming back like they did to Western Canada. And the other part is the flu bug seems to be going around the league. As I mentioned, Zach Hyman had it tonight, and Freddie Anderson just run down. Just worn down a little bit. What do you think? I mean, just to get kind of a state of mind thing for the team right now. I'm not making excuses. I'm just kind of saying some of the other considerations.
I don't think he's been overworked. I would have question marks if you're going to play him in the majority of the games towards the end of the season. His workload compared to some of the other top goaltenders, if you look at a Carey Price, a Marc-Andre Fleury, if you look at these guys, He's right in that mix, and it's, you know, going forward, I wouldn't want to wear him down, but yeah, if you look at Tampa, I can't fault him for three of those first four goals. If you look at tonight, you had a couple pucks deflected going in off Toronto players. You had guys reaching the puck going off, tips going towards the front of the net. I don't think many of these goals are his fault. These are breakdowns in the Toronto system. These are guys missing coverage, and it's just not playing well with the puck. When you don't play well with the puck, that's when the defensive breakdowns happen. Don't just look at all the negative stuff happening around the goals. A guy in front of the net, D-man not coming wide, D-man not taking his guy to the net. How did the play get to there? It's up ice. It's the turnovers at the blue line. It's not skating with the puck with speed through the neutral zone. It's not making anything happen on transition. And those are the problems right now that are affecting the Leafs the most.
We'll get the stat sheet a bit just to kind of catch up on everything that happened. I know, for example, early on, Ron Hainsey was -3 which just stood out because Ron Hainsey's been the top plus minus player in the league. And, you know, in the team games, when things go a little bit south, everyone gets a little selfish and protective of their stats. And then we'll follow some of the stuff that happened in the last few minutes about everyone that scored in that flurry. But the other one to go back about young players and big players. And you talked about that. Just, yeah, the big guys have not stood out of late for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And also, we love the Maple Leafs youth with very good reason. But you mentioned that line that, boy, Brendan Perlini, I knew his dad, Freddie, with the Toronto Maple Leafs way back when. Dylan Secura, and you know the Secura boys, you know the dad, Glenn Secura. I know Glenn and also his uncle John as well, grew up in the Toronto area. And then Alex DeBrincat, who has just been a phenomenal gem in the second round. So what a line. Of course, Secura is not on that line, but what a line to put together. Throw Dylan Strome in there, but all those young guys via trade or via development in a short period of time for Chicago.
Well, yeah, you mentioned Secura. Yeah, I mean, how about the season he's having? He's playing great hockey. I know he doesn't have the points to back it up. He made a great play today on, I think it was Sod in front of the net, heads-up play. He didn't pressure and hit the defenseman, I think it was Ozigenov, in the corner. He kind of baited him into losing the puck, picks the puck off the boards, heads up. He made a lot of great plays today. He's playing with two good players. Any chance you get to play with a guy like Taze, his caliber, you want to bring your A game when you get that chance, because he hasn't had a chance to play with top six his whole time here with the Chicago Blackhawks. And I like his speed. He's heads up. He's playing great away from the puck, and that's something you look for from your coaching staff. And he's reliable. He didn't give the puck up today. He was in on forechecks, responsible on his own end. I liked a lot what I saw of him, and his brothers in the minors knocking on the door as well.
Well, you know, a couple things as we jump out. So Andreas Janssen, Austin Matthews, Morgan Rielly, and John Tavares are the score of the four goals. How about this one, though? Nick Petan, Freddie Gauthier, Tyler Ennis, -3. Fourth line, you're trying to make a difference, and you are -3 out there. Nick Petan doesn't seem to be a favorite of Babcock's. It's not exclusive. There's but just that as far as jumping out, just when we get a chance to look at the stat sheet. Ron Hainsey did pick up a plus, so he's -2 for the night that went like that.
When I played on the fourth line, Gord, and I was on even a sniff of a chance against, I don't think I got up off the pine after that, and I was definitely out the next game. A penalty, a chance against, a turnover, and that's just life on the fourth line. I think coaches have eased off in the last 10, 12 years, but back when I played, that's the way it was. And yeah, when you're -3, it is not good. I know two of those goals, the coaching staff's not going to be happy with Gauthier. One was out of the corner. He was kind of puck watching, wasn't looking behind him. And on the other one, the D-man stepped up. He kind of went with them. They slid the puck back, beat two players with one pass. That's not good. It's not the game we saw to Gauthier last game. I thought against Tampa, he was one of the second best player on the team behind Trevor Moore, and his game was kind of turning. He was a little bit physical, skating with the puck. You saw him flip the puck through two forwards in his own end. He was gaining confidence, and it looks like he took a step back tonight.
Yeah, it was a tough night for them. And again, when we do come back at the top, we'll go over. You got 9 goals to go over, so we'll go over. Like I said, the game is funny. We're watching it. And again, Vic Palladian reminded me, of course, Sam McKee as well, that Ron Hainsey was -3 in the span of like 3 minutes. I mean, that's the kind of game it was in the first period where the Blackhawks scored 3 quick goals that way. And it was a game that, man, you really were tuned out. They got booed off the ice after the first period. It was 4-0, and then it was 5-0 at the halfway point. And we really kind of all turned ourselves out. Andreas Janssen scored late to make it 5-1, and you wanted just a little bit of a respectable third period, and then all of a sudden it just went crazy. All of a sudden you're watching this kind of game go gangbusters. So it just a very different animal tonight, Mike.
Well, Austin Matthews played 21 minutes tonight. I think that would make Savvy happy right now. Maybe you should give him a text, and I know he's always
tough making Savvy happy, yeah.
Yeah, it is tough, but it's you know, he's always the one complaining when he gets 17, 18 minutes, and I'm right with him with that. But now he gets 21. Now he gets 21 minutes. They're chasing the game the whole time. I don't like Matthews at the 21 minutes. You know, it's 19, 20, fine, but once you get him into 22, 23, that's what a lot of teams, the Winnipeg Jets, they ride their top guys that many minutes. And this late in the season, now you're fine-tuning, you're resting guys. You want to feel good going into the playoffs, and you don't want to tax guys too hard. Jake Muzzin playing almost 25 minutes tonight. That's a lot. Ozigenov, Marincin. I thought they struggled at times tonight. You know, Marincin only getting 15, almost 16 minutes, and it's struggling. You know, Hall, I'm wondering when he's ever going to get back in the lineup, and he didn't get back in tonight. I don't know when he is going to get back in.
Well, we'll look at it. Of course, they play Friday, a rare Friday night home game that they against the Philadelphia Flyers in Ottawa on Saturday. So we will come back. Leafs Nation postgame. Mike Babcock should be interesting tonight. Chris Johnson will join us. We'll go over all those goals. We've kind of been doing it a little haphazard a bit because the game changed so dramatically at the end that the Leafs made a game of it. It's still a loss. Five unanswered goals, never a good thing. Then four unanswered goals by the Toronto Maple Leafs. But if you're doing the math, it means it's 5-4 Chicago over Toronto. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Time for a little hockey talky. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hang on to your seatbelts. It was a wild, unique, bumpy ride tonight's 5-4 win for the Chicago Blackhawks over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Chris Johnston will be joining us in a few minutes' time from Scotiabank Arena. And I know Mike Zigomanis and breaking down things, there's a lot of unfortunate things to break down from the Maple Leaf point of view. But again, sometimes we have to, it's hard to be a fan again when you've played or whatever, but just from a fan's point of view, what a crazy third period. That's something, even though the Leafs fell short, would have been something to come back from five down and tie it up. They almost did it. At least they put a little bit of life, too little too late, but a little bit of life in the building.
I'm not sure who stayed for the third period after four goals in the first. It's tough to sit there and watch the abuse your team's taking, Gord. It showed a lot. They came back. They didn't give up. They went right down to the wire. They had a couple good chances there at the last 20 seconds to tie it up. But this is not sustainable for the Toronto Maple Leafs. A month ago before playoffs, we need more out of this group. We need more from the horses. We need more from the decor. We have guys missing, but there's still a lot of holes. There's still guys not playing up to the way that they've been playing this far in the season. They've been giving the contracts out. There's still more guys to sign for next season. There's still a lot of question marks. There's still a story to be written with this Toronto Maple Leafs team, but they need more out of guys, and it's the big boys. It's not the bottom six. It's not the fourth line. I know the fourth line was a minus eight combined, and they didn't have their best game, and we haven't seen that from our fourth line yet. But we had more go up to the top six. So that was a guy that we've had on the bottom line that's done really well this season coming up from the Toronto Marlies. But yeah, Ennis, Gauthier, they've had better games. They've done better, had more scoring chances in other weeks, other times of the season. And defensively, there's just too many breakdowns against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, it's short and sweet. Let's hear what Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock will hear from him. Do we have Chris? Okay, well, okay, if we get Chris first, we'll do that then. Hear from Chris, always Chris Johnson, always there for Mike Babcock and talking to a number of players about what happened tonight. They did take one shot back, so there's not 30 shots in the third period, still 29. All in all, the Leafs outshot the Chicago Blackhawks 48-39. And joining Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. Just saying, like what a contrast in games. I mean, it was one that you had a hard time, if you're a Leaf fan, staying awake when it's 5-0 to on the edge of your seats at the end, Chris.
Well, you should never be behind 5-0, I would suggest, and that's probably the biggest takeaway for me. I mean, you know, good for them for not rolling over at that point and obviously bringing a pretty heavy push in the third period. But, you know, to lose 6-2 the other night, and back it up by being down 5-0 around the midway point of this game is, you know, pretty alarming to say the least. And, you know, just not very good defensive zone coverage. I know they're missing two of the D and down a couple forwards now. But, you know, against with the kind of lineup the Leafs have, they shouldn't be playing games like that. And, They set all kinds of records tonight for all the wrong reasons. And, you know, I think that, Friday's game sets up as a pretty big bounce back because, you know, the, individual loss doesn't mean so much, but I think the fact there's 12 games, 11 games now left in the season, you know, it's getting close to playoffs, and this team still doesn't look very sharp.
Yeah, you know, after Monday, I said it was just kind of a one-off. Those kind of games happen. Then you have the first period you have tonight, and none of your lines are going. Your defense isn't playing the way they could. And speaking about the defense, how much does Toronto really miss Gardner and Dermott at this point? You know, Dermott's one of the best puck-moving D on this team. At what point are you kind of concerned if you're Leafs coaching staff and management?
You're probably concerned right now. You know, they're in the room going over that game, you know, figuring out the path ahead. And, you know, the, truth is, we don't know when these guys are going to be back. I mean, Dermott skated, has been skating, but, you know, the bit I saw him, he looked very ginger. Obviously, recovering from a, shoulder injury is, a difficult, painful thing. You know, we don't have a specific timeline on him, but it's not as always coming back in for Friday's game. And, Jake Gardner hasn't been on skates, as far as I know, the past couple of weeks. So, you know, his timing of his return and, what you might get, even if he is able to come back here in the late stages of the season or the start of the playoffs, is, a huge question mark. So right now we're looking at the team as, it's, you know, you have to imagine it's going to be. I mean, there's obviously a chance both those guys come back and play the way they can, but it's a difficult task to do, especially if you miss time from an injury. And, you know, I think there should be some concern there. You know, the, to my eyes, the forwards have to, you know, find a way to balance that line to help the, D out. And, you know, I know the, the Leafs love to, live on the stretch pass and blow the zone and try to, catch teams off guard. But, you know, they didn't have the, best D as it was, and to lose two of their, established guys, I think it's, has been a difficult thing for them. And, you know, a few of the guys felt again in the first period that there just wasn't a commitment maybe to, playing a hard game, enough effort, you know, whatever you want to call that. But, you know, going up against a desperate team like Chicago trying to stay in a playoff race, I mean, the Leafs certainly didn't match them until it nearly got out of hand.
Yeah, and Mike, certainly, Mike and Chris, certainly the expression five unanswered goals to start the game is never a good thing if you're on the other side of it. And another one, as we just kind of went through the statistics, like I said, Chris, it's kind of like one of those you're going through an accident scene report, kind of, you know, just, just whatever. And then you got a little bit of better news at the end about their health or something. But, you, boy, there's very few fourth lines. I know plus minus, it can have serious merit. Sometimes it can be a little unfair. There's very few fourth lines that as a unit will have a minus three each player in a game like happened tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that there was a few too many passengers for the Leafs, at least, you know, while they were falling behind. The third period looked a lot better. You know, Mike Babcock shortened his bench. We saw a lot of Jake Muzzin playing with Morgan Rielly. We didn't see so much of that fourth line. Obviously, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, John Tavares all got a lot more ice time as they pushed for that tying goal. But, you know, was not a good team game. You know, it's you would struggle to identify many players that played well in the first period. You know, I'd lump Freddie Anderson into that. I think you could have got an extra save or two on, those four goals he let in the opening 20 minutes, and that played a role in, them falling behind. So it was very much a team loss. You know, I don't see one player or one, you know, pairing or line that, I can hang the whole thing on. But, you know, that was a pretty alarming game, given what just happened to Tampa, the fact they took yesterday off to rest, the fact that they spent time at the morning skate today working on some defensive zone coverages. You didn't see very much of that in the opening 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm, when I look at, to see who the best players for the Leafs were tonight, if there was any, you know, kind of a bright spot in their game, I can't even pick one. If you're Mike Babcock now, you're looking at Monday night, this game, at what point am I going to shake the lineup out, lineup up? Are you going to add a defenseman? Is Hall going to come in? Is somebody going to come up from the Marlies if guys aren't healthy at this point? Because I can't see this same lineup dressing for Friday night.
No, I'm with you. I think the time is now if you're inclined to do those things. You know, we didn't get much of an update on Hyman, but maybe he's back. But, you know, the problem they're having is, there's not – a ton of guys with the Marlies that are obvious candidates to come up either. I mean, they're weathering some injuries on D. I know the Leafs would have loved to have got Callie Rosen up to to put him in some of these games rather than playing Martin Marincin the way they have, you know, since the injuries to Dermott and Gardner. But that just isn't the case. You know, he's still sidelined with a foot injury. And so, you know, they don't have a lot of other places to look except at themselves. I mean, certainly there's some opportunities, I guess, if you want to really shake up the look of the lines. But in terms of personnel, it's going to be some close variation of what we saw tonight in the lineup against Philadelphia. I think it's a challenge, you know, especially to maybe their top players. You know, I thought that Austin Matthews actually had a pretty strong game once it got going, was one of the guys that really seemed to be, you know, engaging a little bit more in board battles and things that obviously aren't typically part of his game. Nylander had some chances, but, you know, these are the guys that we're going to be looking at when the playoffs come to carry the team. And you know, to my eyes, it's getting playoff-like. It's not quite there. Obviously, I think that's thrown around a bit. And you know, these guys have to dig in and put in a better effort as a team.
Chris Johnson joining Gord Stellick, Mike Zigomanis, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 5-4 win for the Chicago Blackhawks over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we talked about Jake Gardner, Travis Dermott, the injuries which the Leafs seem to be immune from most of the season. I guess Zach Hyman hopefully be back from the flu bug, but Kasperi Kapanen had the flu is what they said. And now when you get the C word, a concussion, I would say he would be very doubtful for the weekend as well. So you're starting to get a few of those things you avoided in injuries.
Yeah, I worry that, you know, we don't know any more about Kapanen's concussion than has been said. But, you know, remember he took that hard run into the end boards maybe about 2 weeks ago, and he missed time in that game. I wish I could remember the game off the top of my head. But I worry that maybe he's been trying to play through it for a little bit. You know, tough to say, but you know, that was a bit of a surprise to hear that he was concussed, given that there was no obvious hit in his last game playing. And so, you know, he's been part of the top line. You know, I think that it's a great chance for Nylander, as we've talked about, Gord. You know, I do think that when the games really matter, you're going to have Nylander on Matthews' wing. Now we're seeing that with Kapanen out of the lineup. And so, you know, he had lots of looks tonight, but he's got to find a way to break through. I know he hit the post a couple of times, one on the tip and one on the shot early in the game. And so, you know, he was around the net and had his chances. But, you know, I think that we're at the time where results are what's going to matter. And so, you know, every team has injuries. The Bruins have been rolling, you know, with Pasternak out of the lineup. They won a whole bunch of games early in the year without Bergeron and McAvoy and Chara all at the same time. I mean, I don't see a lot of excuses for the Leafs, although obviously the blue line questions are real and legitimate. And, you know, I just think they have to find a way to play a better game for more of the game if they're going to have any successful run here this spring.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of the stuff on Nylander tonight. 2 assists plus 1. Hit the goal post, had a couple good tips, making plays, setting up guys, 20 minutes, 6 seconds, 25 shot, 25 shifts, 3 shots on goal. But when I see Nylander, I still don't think I see the Nylander I've seen the last 2 years, and I've been hard on him all year, but it seems like he's kind of turning the corner, but there's still something missing there. Is this it for Nylander? Any more improvement? And do you think this is going to affect the Toronto Maple Leafs in a negative way going into the playoffs?
It's, you know, it's hard to know because I would have guessed by now. I mean, look, his first game back was December 6th. We're almost April, you know, so it's been a long time. Obviously, a lot of opportunity for him to practice with the team, get extra skates and those types of things to get his conditioning back. And, you know, I don't think there's any case to be made that, yeah, maybe in individual games he's been the old Nylander, but not for any stretch of time, and not in the kind of way that the Leafs would have hoped when, you know, they ended that contract standoff and, you know, signed him to a deal at just less than $7 million. You know, he's a big part of the team, and he hasn't contributed at the rate that he's paid to do so. And there's no way around that. Part of me wonders if it's just going to take, a summer and a full off season and him being in training camp and all those things to get back to normal. I suppose if you're Leafs coaches and management, you're hoping maybe he finds a way to hit another level here in the lead up to the playoffs or once the playoffs arrive. But, you know, I think it's fair to say he's been a disappointment on whole this season since he's returned. He's not been as impactful as we've seen in the past. He's not put up the kind of numbers, even though some of his possession numbers have looked good. And maybe he's going to bust out of it here, especially getting with Matthews and how much success they've had, how well I think they gel as line mates in terms of having complementary strengths to their games. There's a chance for him, but if not, man, that's a really, really tough year for him. I know he's frustrated. Obviously, he was frustrated when he was sitting at home for 2 months in Sweden, waiting for a contract and waiting for the business side to play out. And he's got a chance to write a nice ending to that season. But, you know, it's hard for me to say with any certainty that we're going to see it, because it's been a long stretch where he hasn't looked like himself.
Chris, great that you're always in mid-season form when you join us. Thanks very much, as always.
No problem. We'll talk Friday.
Sounds good. Chris Johnson joining us, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada. Before we go over all the 9 goals, so we'll be busy, Mike and myself. We do want to hear Mike Babcock was on the shorter and sweeter side tonight postgame after the 5-4 Chicago win.
Astu obviously weren't very good in the first period. The puck went in our net. We didn't look after the puck good enough and competed at a high enough level. Our second period was better, but still not good enough. And obviously crawled our way back in the third, but came up short. And usually when you're down like we were, it's tough to come back. I mean, I thought we made a good, valiant push, but wasn't good enough.
Why do you think there's so many defensive breakdowns in that first period?
Well, we turned the puck over a little bit. We didn't play hard enough. We weren't quick enough in our own zone. We didn't skate good enough, compete at a high enough level. And so, in our preparation today for their team, we explained how well they'd been playing and how hard they'd been playing and what the level was going to be, and we didn't get to it. So, bottom line is we came back from the road. We thought we were playing real well, and we haven't got back to that level, so we got to get back to that level.
Like, you worked this morning on zone coverage. Is it in your morning's day?
Well, what we did is we lost face-offs the previous game, and they bounced them off people and went in our net, so we just did sort of, but that was our D-zone. Get some puck pressure in D-zone, yeah.
And did that in any way translate?
Well, it sure didn't look like it in the first. It looked like it after that. But the reality is you can all stand in the right spots. You got to compete at a high enough level. I just didn't think we started good enough. I thought they scored on their chances, got us off kilter, and then it took us a while to get back going again.
Do you like either of the first 2 goals?
I didn't go through them on video. So once I've gone through them on video, I'll be able to tell you that tomorrow.
That was it. Just going to go to the video room. To the video room, Babcock, and he'll take a look at the video. We'll do the audio about what happened, the 9 goals tonight. So it's simply 5 Chicago, 4 Toronto. So there's and Joe Bowen, I always like Joe Bowen's Jim Ralph's calls. I'm curious when it gets 4-5-0. He's like, I know at the end he'll be bringing it when the Maple Leafs made it interesting. But early on, Mike, start on time, but it's just 3:19 into the game, the Hawks strike.
Here's Duncan Keith getting it on the left wing, and a shot! Scores! It trickled through the pads of Anderson. It was rolling ever so slowly to the goal line, and I don't know if Morgan Rielly, even if he was able to get on the right side of the puck to knock it out of the net, would have reached it in time. But he ends up touching it. No, it's in the net, and he can't pull it back. And Keith is going to get an easy one here, right through Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Ralph going to cut in a little bit, of course, goaltending side. So I don't know what you think. Duncan Keith is 5th from Saad and Brendan Saad. That was the Brendan part. And Perlini at the 3:19 mark.
They jumped on the Leafs right from the start of the game. And if you look at this one, Nylander kind of misses his coverage. This line gets stuck in their own end. And I don't mind Nylander getting out of the way when a point shot's going to come from a bad angle. But when you get out of the way, and it wasn't a flamingo, it was a complete bail, and then it goes off his stick, 5-hole on Anderson, what's your goaltender supposed to do, Gord? So I'm not faulting him for getting out of the way, because you don't want to screen your goaltender, don't want to go in off you, but he gets out of the way and leaves his stick there, and it's almost the perfect tip. If you give him 100 pucks from there, I don't think he'd beat Anderson in any of them.
Well, and of course, through decades of Coach's Corner, we know Don Cherry talks about that all the time, as Mike Zygmantas does. So it's a 1-0 lead, and all of a sudden, a flurry in the second half of the first period. A former Leaf. I knew Freddie Perlini well when he was here with the Marlies and a little bit with the Leafs. And here's his protege.
Here's Perlini in with a shot. He scores! Brendan Perlini is red hot. His fifth goal, or his fourth goal in two games. And the Blackhawks lead 2-0.
12:55 mark. Like Joe Bowen said, Brendan Perlini, his 12th goal overall for the season from Strome and Gustafsson.
This is a broken play coming in over the Leafs' blue line. You had Gauthier kind of tracking Strome. Then you had Marinson step up. Strome slides it through to Perlini. Then you got Patan trying to come back in the slot. He's stick checking, not taking the man, not taking the puck. But the problem here is that Patan kind of goes back at Perlini and he ends up tipping this puck. So Perlini shoots the puck, and all credit to him, the move he made entering the zone. But this is another one that goes off a Leaf stick and kind of knuckleballs on Anderson. And if you were watching it, yeah, you want Anderson to have these ones, but this is tough on your goaltender. They need better D-zone coverage coming into their zone. This is not a dangerous entry that ends up in a goal, and this is what's frustrating to watch, Gord.
Well, hoping to get out of the period 2-0 down, which is no great shakes for starters, but it's going to get doubled shortly. Here's the first one.
Tavares curls at the blue line, trying to get by one man, but lost it, and that forces a 2-on-1 going the other way. A pass into the slot for Cajun. Scores! 3-0 Chicago! Every mistake the Leafs are making is ending up in the back of the net, it seems. But John Tavares turns the puck over right at the blue line, and a 2-on-1 is done to perfection.
Yeah, Dominic Cajun is 12th of the year from Kane and Anisimov at the 17-13 mark.
Mr. Bowen explains that one best. The turnovers tonight were costing the Leafs. The mistakes, this one by Johnny Toronto. Is that what Mr. Bowen calls him?
Yeah.
And it wasn't Johnny Toronto on this one. But yeah, it's a cough up at the inside the Chicago blue line. They go back the other way. Kane makes a nice pass. Feathers one over to Cajun. Makes no mistake. And this is kind of what the story was, how it started this whole game, Gord. It was the turnovers, the giveaways, careless plays, guys not coming back. And yeah, when you start down now 3-0, now they're chasing.
Well, you're going to chase some more. They score four.
Taves is across the line. Has a man going to the front of the net. That got it into the corner, but around the wall. It comes right out in front of the net. Saad scores! 4-0 Chicago!
Brendan Saad is 23rd of the year from Dylan Sekura at the 1846 mark.
Yeah, from the GTA. Dylan Sekura playing great, playing on the top line, playing with Saad and Taves. He makes a great play here. I believe it was Zaitsev in the corner. Kind of baited him, didn't take the body, got Zaitsev to give the puck up, made a great play to Saad. Saad was in front of the net, waiting for the turnovers that have been happening all game. This is another one where the fourth line's on the ice. You've got Ennis and Gauthier. All of them were facing and puck watching Sekura in the corner. And like we just said, he made the great pass. And now 4-0. You want, like you said, you want to get up 3-0. Now it's 4 and the game's almost over, but that wasn't the case here. And it's tough for the Leafs going down 4 into the second period.
Yeah, 14-9, the Toronto Maple Leafs did outshoot the Chicago Blackhawks, but they're down 4-0. And once again, Freddie Anderson gets the hook. First time in his career, he's got the hook in back-to-back games. Garrett Sparks starts the second period, and at least they don't allow a goal for about 12 minutes, but then that changes.
Muzzin trying to center. It'll come back to Zaitsev, who thinks better of trying to pinch there, and he might have beaten Perlini to the puck, and it doesn't matter because they score. Alex DeBrincat gets his 38th of the season. And Zaitsev sort of caught between the rock and the hard place. Certainly looked like he had an opportunity to keep that puck in. Pull back, turns into a 2-on-1. And Tyler Ennis does not catch DeBrincat.
Well, Joe, describing a lot of it, 38 goals, wow, for Alex DeBrincat from Perlini and Strome.
Not bad for a second-rounder, Gord. DeBrincat, he's been on fire this year. Great play by Perlini. I mean, what, just right on the tape. But this is another one. Toronto with their fourth line getting caught again. And I don't want to point fingers to Zaitsev again, but he has two guys coming down on him, and it's a bit of a broken up 2-on-1. and he thinks he has Ennis coming back on DeBrincat, so he kind of goes over to Perlini. That's going to be costly. He makes the heads-up play. DeBrincat, no mistake, goes upstairs. No real chance there, and this is tough night for the fourth line.
Yeah, well, 5-0. They're all minus threes, the fourth line players, as you said earlier. And then just before the second period, the first little thing Maple Leaf fans could cheer about.
87 points and in second spot in the Metropolitan Division. The shot scores by the Leafs.
Morgan Rielly let it go.
Johnson.
Andreas Johnson was in front of the net.
Andreas Johnsson is 20th from Rielly and Nylander at the 18:27 mark.
When things aren't going your way, Gord, keep it simple. Pucks in, control the puck, get it to the point. When you have tough coverage, your defensemen just start funneling everything to the net. Rielly does it on this play, and Johnson's been doing what he's been doing all year. He's been playing with a lot of energy. He's been one of the best forecheckers. He gets to the front of the net, and he does that on this play. Has a great shift and gets rewarded with a tipping goal.
13-9 shots on goal favoring the Chicago Blackhawks. So they have a big 5-1 lead after two periods of play. But cue the blue and white. Here come the cavalry.
Matthews down in the corner, trying to play it off on the wing. It comes back towards the blue line, and Hainsey gets there to keep it alive. Nylander back at the net. Nylander now engaged, but works down into the corner. Centering pass, backhand, stopped by a sprawling Delia. Now it's centered, they score! From the little acorn grew the mighty oak.
Well, right now, that oak's still got to get up a mountain.
Yeah, there's the all the analogies. The acorn, the mountain, and the cactus. Austin Matthews is 32nd from Johnsson and Nylander, 7:57 mark.
Yeah, Nylander with two assists. Not the game we were used to seeing from him, but definitely some light here. Makes a great play to Johnsson. I don't know how Johnsson didn't put in either of those. Great play in front of the net. And then Matthews, bad angle, almost looked like he was behind the goal line. And I believe this went in off of Strome as he was trying to make a play to the front of the net. This is just another one of those shifts where they're not doing anything extra special out there. Keep it simple. Hang on to the puck. Play a heavy game. Nylander does that behind the net. Johnsson gets to the front of the net, and he's a big reason why they do get on the board again.
Well, there they go. It is 5-2. Do we have ourselves a game? Well, the Leafs are on the power play. The only penalty of the game to Patrick Kane. Cue the comeback.
Brought in now by Matthews on the left wing. Matthews stops, gets it back to Rielly. Rielly walks the line. Still with it. Now to Matthews. Back to Rielly. The wrist shot coming. Scores! Morgan Rielly from the point. It's 5-3. And 9:05 to play in the third period.
Well, the acorn climbing the mountain, Morgan Rielly, 19th goal of the year from Matthews and Marner at the 10:55 mark.
Now, this is a power play goal. On our sheet here has even strength. Not sure if they changed that online yet or not, but this power play is going to have to be better than they have been the last couple weeks, month, for them to be successful going forward. Matthews makes a good play, kind of give and go with Rielly, and Rielly just firing this puck quick. Don't wait. They can't wait for the perfect opportunity, the perfect shot every time on the power play. Marner and Matthews are not going to be always open on the half wall. Rielly's going to have to shoot the puck more. And what he did tonight, they're going to have to see more of it for them to be successful on with the extra man.
Well, it's 5-3 now. And boy, oh boy, the Leafs just dominate the last 5, 6, 7 minutes, whatever it was of the game. And it does bear fruit.
Six attackers on for Toronto. That we can count. Fired around the boards. Great play by Marner to keep it in. Down low it goes under. Jam play. Scores! Johnny T! The Leafs are within one with 1:31 to go.
Well, John Tavares at the 18:29 mark is 39th. Mitch Marner, his 60th assist of the season, gets the only assist. And that was just like the mad scramble, Mike, as Joe Bowen described it. Helter-skelter in the crease, and the puck went in.
Well, now it's Johnny Chiarano all of a sudden, but yeah, Tavares does what he does best. He's having a career year now, almost at 40 goals. This is the kind of desperation we need to see out of the Leafs, not with the extra man. We need to see this when the puck drops in the first period. We need to see more of that. There's more desperation, competitive excellence is something the Leafs need to do going forward. And yeah, Marner picks up his 60th assist of the year. Me and Savvy have a little side bet going. I've got, who do I have? I have Point from Tampa. He's got Marner, and that's, yeah, Marner picks up another couple points tonight, and that's,
he'll be liking that.
He'll be liking that for sure. But this team, yeah, it's cutting close, and I know they had some chances there towards the end of the game, but yeah, it was an exciting finish.
Yeah, it really was. And they've knocked it down to 29, but I'll give it right now. They said the shots on goal 30-12 for the Maple Leafs in the third period. The most shots they've had since 1970 for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it ends up a 5-4 Chicago win. And one more piece of business, the Direct Energy Home Services, hardest working Leaf player of the game. And maybe the last period gave you a little bit more fodder to choose from, but who gets that nod for the Leafs tonight?
I didn't see anybody I liked all game. I didn't like anybody I saw in the third guard. I'm going to have to go with Garrett Sparks. He held them in it, didn't really get tested too much, but yeah, he kept them in it and gave him a shot. And that's all you can ask from a guy that's been sitting on the bench. He probably wasn't expecting to go in again. As you said, Anderson hasn't been pulled in back-to-back games in his career. And Sparks is looking more comfortable every week in the NHL, looking more like a backup, looking more like a guy that belongs. And he played the puck well, came out of the net. He was confident. And that's what we need to see out of Garrett Sparks.
Well, he is our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf of the game. Friday, Leafs take on the Philadelphia Flyers, a rare Friday game at home. We'll be on right after the game with Leafs Nation postgame. Tonight, a 5-4 win for the Chicago Blackhawks over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mike Zigomanis on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.